finally, we get to hear from Nanda Gopa Prabhu after only 8 times being sidelined by the daily speakers. Hare Krishna.
I hope I don't let you down, because actually, I didn't have a very personal association with Prabhupada. I never spoke with him, never been presented to him as a disciple, and I always have this in my heart, a little thing. But then I was thinking, even if they brought me in from Srila Prabhupada, what I would say to him, he will just, I was just probably, you know. So Srila Prabhupada was such a transcendental, pure, and heavy personality. And I joined around 75, in the end of 74 to 75, and in Los Angeles. And my plan was to get somehow or other a way to reach India. I was searching for a guru at that time. We have read the book of Yogananda Paramahamsa. Many devotees have read these old days, and it became interesting in spiritual life. And I thought, I have to find a guru. But my conception of a guru, of course, it was completely sentimental. And then I was in Chicago one time. I got the first contact with a devotee in the airport. Approached me. I was with my uncle in the Chicago airport, getting the plane to go back to Greece. After I have been 6 months inside the house, because I jumped off the boat, came from Greece, and I tried to stay in America, but my family says, don't ever dare to go out of the house. We're going to get in trouble. So I was thinking, my God, what a life. I was just 6 months inside looking television. So that was not life. So I said to my parents, I says, let me go back. So on the airport, one Mataji approached me, and she says, look at this Krishna book, George Harrison, all these things. And when I hear the word George Harrison, you know, I used to love George Harrison. My sweet Lord that time have come, and, you know, and my uncle says, don't take that book. I took that book. And I was in the airplane. I was meditating on all these beautiful photos. And I could not read English that time. Then I came back after a year. That was in 73, that first contact. Then I came back. I went to the I went to Greece. Then I came back again legally in U.S. And again in Chicago, trying to be happy there with relatives. And so when the whole plan started failing, and I became very miserable, I thought, again, I have to go and find a guru. I cannot just be postponing this thing. And gurus are only in India. So I thought, how am I going to do it? I have no money at that time. So I hitchhike. You know, hitchhike means, you know, you go on the road and you're trying to get a ride from some car, you know, to take you to your destination. So it was a winter. I was out of my body with a little bit of everything and all that stuff. And I was thinking, I was just with a t-shirt. I remember in the middle of the winter, you know, just imagine, you know, how transcendental I was. And I was hitchhiking, and in the middle of the road, I start chanting this song, My Sweet Lord. So, to make the story short, I couldn't get my mind out of it. I would chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You really want to see me, my Lord? And on and on and on. I didn't know nothing about the mantra or nothing. But I got hooked in that mantra there for hours and hours. I was chanting the mantra. And I was start getting hopes, inspirations, you know, changes were happening, goosebumps, tears in my eyes, and people would stop and get me. They probably thought, this guy is crazy, you know. I had my hair down to my knees, and, you know, I was like, you know, whatever. So I was practicing mauna also. Mauna, I didn't know what mauna is, but I wouldn't talk to people, because I came to the conclusion in that time in my life that everybody's trying to cheat me. This is the society of the cheaters. So I got fed up in that society. I got to find a new society, a new life. I didn't know how. But Lord Krishna came and gave me all these new ideas. So in the road, hitchhiking, getting down towards the... I thought, if I go to some place where there is a port, then I can get a job in the boat. Because I was a merchant marine. I had finished a school of apprentice engineer. I have a diploma. So then I thought, I should go to Los Angeles. And Los Angeles, there is port there, there is boats. Then I will be able to get a job. So then I forgot to tell you, I have another contact. The previous time in San Francisco, I saw the devotees passing like a movie for splits of a second, just in the front of me in Harinam Sankirtan. They pass from me from one corner to another, and I turn around and I hear the sound vibration of cartels and devotees singing, and I was, and that was it. But that got impressed in my mind. So I was thinking in that road, hitchhiking, why don't you go and find these people, the Hare Krishna people? They will know where to get to India. Then discussion with my mind, how I'm going to find the people, these Hare Krishna people. Another thought, Paramatma was just doing miracles. You know, just go, arrive in Los Angeles, go to these telephone books they have in America, open these yellow pages, they have this big, huge telephone directory thing, and look for some Indian name. And then ask them, what is the Hare Krishna people? I say, wow, good idea I got. So, I arrived in Los Angeles and I went to the phone book. I did that. I called the first Indian name. He says, I don't know. I called the second. He says, they're in Wachika Avenue, Wachika Boulevard, cha 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 cha. He gave me all directions. I went there one evening and I arrived there. And I remember it was Kirtiraj. Kirtiraj with his chatter cover and chanting up and down in the front of the temple. It was so mystical for me, you know, to see these shave-headed monks and around there chanting japa, and you know, I was, wow, I was really impressed. So I enter and I spoke with some devotees, and they asked me, so what is your plans? I said, I like to go to India. I like to find a guru. Can you please help me? You guys are spiritual. You know, with my little English I was speaking. And one devotee told me, you know, everywhere you go, your mind will follow you. You know, they probably saw my face. You know. So I was thinking, wow, man, this is a powerful mantra. I was not in good terms with my mind that time. So then a Greek devotee came down and he started preaching to me in Greek. I'm from Greece, yeah. So that was it. He started filling me up with all these Mahavishnus coming out of the pores of his belly. And that was it. I started tripping. I said, that's the real religion, boy. I got it. So besides that, they have the best stock of gulabs, samosas and everything for the first new visitors and comers in the temple. So I was like starving to death. I wasn't eating nothing. I was just, you know, just in drugs. And I started getting a higher taste. Then next day, they they wake me up 4 o'clock. I never wake up in my life 4 o'clock. I wouldn't even dream. So I wake up 4 o'clock. I was like half asleep, you know. They throw me in the shower. So I took cold shower. I got wake up. Then down the temple. Then I enter into another dimension. When inside the new Dwarka palace, the three deities sat there, the kirtan. That, these days we used to have these heavy kirtans, not like Mangalarti with one kartel here and one murdanga playing. So we have like three, four murdangas, you know, and Agnidev, Bharadraj, all these big guys, you know. And they put me there in the middle of the kirtan, you know, to get a good dose. So I started jumping up and down. It was like, I never thought again of leaving that place. I never felt such a happiness in my life, you know. The next few days I was associating with this Greek devotee who was preaching to me like anything. Then they say to me, actually you're looking for a guru, but guru is coming here for you. You know, Lord Krishna has arranged a meeting with you. You know, you're so fortunate. I said, wow. So Prabhupada was coming in a few days, you know. And they have me... I joined the Bhakta program. Dhanavir Prabhu was that time there, having a really fantastic Bhakta program, training people, really first class. Then Prabhupada was supposed to come tomorrow. And we start like a few days before, we start having a big marathon, and cleaning the temple. It was the old temple in Los Angeles. You have been to the old temple, the small temple? Yeah, no, in Huachica. There was the old temple, small temple where the museum now is. Yeah. Yeah. So this is where I first, my memory is getting a little bewildered because I don't have it together. Why Prabhupada came to the new temple, and anyway, next day Prabhupada came, we were finishing up the new temple, he walked in, he sat in the Vyasasan, but you have to forgive me because I don't remember exactly how come that both temples were there functioning.
Eh? The other room was for the Artik, where Prabhupada would give the lecture.
Yeah.
Where the temple room is now, and they have the pews that would go up.
Maybe they have some more work to do, and they we didn't do, because the first meeting with Prabhupada and the lecture, he was in the small temple.
The Artik in the temple, and he gave the talk.
You were there 75 when he arrived?
70 he was there, because that way, he would give
the talk in the... Anyway, I remember... entering from the new temple, and then we were in the old temple, the small one. We were all crowded. It could fit like 200 people, maybe, like that. But there were much more than that, devotees from all over. And it was so crowded. Everybody was like this, you know. And Prabhupada finished his lecture and got up. And we were all squeezing to make an alley so Prabhupada can come through us. So I happened to be right where Prabhupada was passing through, you know. My humble and sweet pastime, I had to touch his dhoti when he passed, you know. It was, I have some fortunate association with Jayananda. Jayananda, I helped him to build a car this year to Ratha Yatra. I even find a photo of me. I was driving Lord Jagannath in that Ratha Yatra. But my memory has become so bad. I cannot put things in the film together. You know, it's just... And one god brother, a few months ago, he says, Nanda, I have a surprise for you. And he sent me, he's in charge of the Dandavat Chitraka. He's the devotee who preached to me in LA. And he sent me all these photos. I'm behind Prabhupada, you know, in the Vyasasana. And then I am in one, not morning walk, but outside the New Dwarka temple. Bunch of devotees there. And I was behind also somewhere, like insignificant fool. Like that. Bhuvaneswara Prabhu was there that time. Who else was there? Yeah, my time is over, and I also don't have, I don't have more things to say. Just I remember when we were brahmacharis, we used to squeeze right above the garden of Srila Prabhupada was the prasadam room, and there was the windows you can look down Srila Prabhupada preaching to all the scientists in his garden. And we would go there and squeeze there to get a glimpse and hear something, you know. And Prabhupada, sometimes we used to make noise to push each other, you know. You go like that. This is my little stories with Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Bol.
Thank you to Nanda Gopal Prabhu. We're so happy that we could hear you speak so nicely. Now it's 5:30. So Gurudas, do you need a chair? Okay, so you want to sit over there? Turn a card to how long will you take? Yeah, you can. Can you come tomorrow?
I spoke to 3 nights, but I just keep remembering stuff when people speak, so I have some short comments.
Yeah.
One longer thing, but no. You go. I think everybody wants to hear from you.
Yeah, you can speak tomorrow in the beginning also, okay? So now we will hear from Gurudas Prabhu, who spent so many years serving Srila Prabhupada and opening so many temples, and so many years here in Vrindavan. We're very fortunate to hear you. Hare Krishna.
Well, it all started with Prabhupada. Literally and figuratively, we wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't be sitting in this room, in this gathering, if it wasn't for Prabhupada. And it increases because Prabhupada's family is all over. You see friends that you know 30, 40 years. Not too many people in life know people for 30, 40 years, their children, their children's children. And we all did these austerities because we wanted to serve Prabhupada. We weren't getting paid, but we were sleeping on saris and charters and dhotis and here in Vrindavan. If we had an extra postage stamp, we thought we were rich. Really. So Prabhupada was situated in Vrindavan. He was very happy. He was planning to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's wishes. He used to walk across Delhi to distribute back to Godhead himself. He wrote it, he laid it out, he charmed the printer, and he distributed it himself. So he was very happy in Vrindavan. But to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's wishes, he left. Even though your heart is always in Vrindavan, if you experience the atmosphere and the mellows. Now, it's changed somewhat surfacely, but the essence is still Vrindavan. Parikrama path may be paved. There may be 1,000 stores where there were fields, but the essence is the same. 2 days ago, I met an old friend in Delhi, Dr. Lokesh Chandra, MP, and he told me that his father, who is a very influential man, helped the Dalai Lama get out of Tibet, asked Mr. Dalmia to pay for a ticket for Prabhupada. Not the first one, but the second. So Prabhupada charmed Sumati Maharaji, and he went on the Jaladuta. Now, if you have a heart attack, most of the time you want to recuperate. Most people would go right back. They would have asked the captain, please take me back. Prabhupada forged on. Not knowing, he had one name. He had approximately $7. He didn't have ISKCON centers all over the world like now. You can go there all over the world. I was just in Czech Republic about 6 weeks ago. Flourishing. Enthusiastic. Wonderful devotees. Hungry for Krishna consciousness, not taking it for granted. Navayovana, ever fresh. And very serious. They'd bring me food and I say, do I look hungry? And they'd say, 10 minutes later, oh, Guru Das made joke. Wonderful devotees. Czech Woodstock. We went to 10,000 youths. Chanting. And Lord Jagannath is a symbol of the Czech Woodstock. And the first trumpet, first violinist of the Czech Prague Symphony Orchestra are devotees. So a 20-piece kirtan band formed around me. Krishna consciousness is flourishing because Prabhupada came here alone. And categorically, I could say now that Krishna consciousness is more popular than Coca-Cola. So Prabhupada went on. Now, Prabhupada also, especially when you're alone, sometimes you do things to make it easier because his heart was still in Vrindavan, but now he's in New York City. This is after Butler, Pennsylvania. I'm going to get to Vrindavan, but I have to paint the picture of Prabhupada. He gets to Butler, Pennsylvania, goes down into a mine, and there's a Christian preacher there, and Prabhupada is thinking, how am I going to give this to these people? He's learning. One of the things, Prabhupada listens to people. That's how you preach. He would listen, and then turn it into Krishna consciousness. This man talking about Baltis. I was going, Prabhupada was listening, turned the conversation. So he's down in the mine of Butler, Pennsylvania, and the Catholic priest is saying to the miners, if you don't worship Jesus, you'll go to hell. They were simple miners. They said, what's hell? The priest said, well, hell is deep into the ground. It's very hot. It's constricted. And they're thinking, that's our daily situation. Either we're already in hell or it doesn't matter if we go to hell because that's... So then the priest said, if in hell there's no newspapers, because that was their one entertainment. So Prabhupada thought, yes, Krishna is all attractive, so I have to find out how to attract people. So like I say, Prabhupada even ends up in New York, and he would go to the customs house. to see the schedules, the schedules of the boats going to India. For some reason, by seeing these schedules, he didn't get homesick anymore. And the customs man liked the Swami because he wore these gold Bengali shoes with a circular thing on the front. So he stood out, and there he was looking. And the customs said, man said, now Swamiji, you keep on looking at these schedules. When are you going to India? And he said, I'm not going. I'm just getting it out of my system. There was a thief who was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now he's a Vaishnava. So, as you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was so astrologically astute that sometimes he would start a journey in one room. It was auspicious to start, but inauspicious to continue. So we would just start in that room, and then everybody would stop for the night. So the thief said, Guruji, I have this urge to take things. I'm a thief, but I'm a Vaishnava. And it's not so much the things, it's the reactions of the people. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, if you do it one more time, will you get it out of your system? Yes. Okay, take everybody's bag and baggage and put it in the next room. He did it. Everybody wakes up. Where is my bag and baggage? It is here on that side. It's gone. And it don't club. They're missing. So he said, "My dear Prabhus, I was a thief, and I had to get this out of my system. Everything's there." Same thing. Right, now I'm going to jump all over the world, and it's not going to be following chronology. Okay. So now there's a bunch of thieves down the way, and we're constructing Krishna Balaram temple, and they were taking some things. So someone asked Prabhupada, can we get a gun? Prabhupada said, yes. But shoot over their heads. And he told the story to illustrate it. Narada Muni had a disciple who was a snake. A snake. So, we all were snake-like in some ways. We're still a work in progress. And so slowly we get rid of our snake-like tendencies. So, he's a Vaishnava, but he's a snake. So, the kids in the neighborhood are throwing rocks at him and calling him names before they wouldn't even get near him. Guruji, they're calling me names and throwing rocks at me. What should I do? He said, you're a Vaishnava, but you're also a snake, so raise your hoods. And Prabhupada imitated a cobra, but don't bite. Just in this room. I always wondered how the snake put his tilak on. How do you think? Exactly. Das Anu Das. Somebody put the tilak on. And that's what Prabhupada's given us in the world. It's an alternative to the world, the sharing we do. This family, I go all over the world. I'm invited to all sorts of gatherings. And yes, we're a little bit of a dysfunctional family, but a loving, 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 loving family. You can't find it. Look at that right there, back there. I mean, you know, this is what India, and you know, India does it even better. As far as the service, they won't let me spend a paisa. But this man in Czechoslovakia, he wouldn't let me take my shoes off. I said at home I'd take my own shoes off, you know. No, no. He brings hot milk at night. there's a cat nearby, so I have some of the milk I feed the cat. The next night, more milk. Gurdas's cat. The next night, more milk. Gurdas's cat and Gurdas's dog, me. He turned out to be a school principal. You know, I should have taken his shoes off. So Prabhupada's there, getting it out of his system, figuring out what to do, and he just continued on with the same sadhana that we do. He chanted, he met some young people, he gave us the whole Vedic system. When it started to flourish, Prabhupada said, yes, I have given them something tangible. He gave us the whole Vedic culture. I was very happy, seemingly happy. Everything was free in the 60s. Free, 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 free. Yet he charmed me so much that I was able to leave that. It was nice, but kind of floundering. We were searching, and really searching. We would wear our search on our personas. So some of us were Mexican, some of us were Native American, some of us were Zen Buddhist, some were, and anything from India was holy. Oh, a curtain from India. And Prabhupada charmed us. I fought the draft. I did not go into the army. I was in the civil rights movement. I fought them. And Prabhupada drafted me into the Transcendental Army by his charm. Little did I know. So I met Prabhupada in San Francisco. I had heard about the Swami. I had a friend that was in the Black Panthers. It's a rebellious organization that sometimes resorts to violence. I knew him, and he's carrying a saxophone case. So I said, oh, you're a musician now? He says, no, I'm taking food out of people's refrigerators. You can't make up these things. So this friend of mine says, I have a friend that I'd like you to meet. It was Jamuna. I have a friend I'd like you to meet, and my Black Panther friend comes with me. And we go, and Jamuna walks into the room straight-backed, and she put two pieces of incense expertly in a little hole in the wall. Well, there's the thing called a thunderbolt. It's like, poof. Love at first sight. Whew. So I said to my friend, well, I'm in black talk, I said, this chick's opened my nose, so don't take any food out of a refrigerator. Open your nose is a black thing, meaning you're falling in love. So it's slang. So he goes, Mullet, he comes zooming in, Sam Ashinda, and Jamuna and I talked all night and we became friends. And she told me that she had gone to New York for her sister's wedding, Janaki, and she met this wonderful Swami. And her sister was married to Michael Mukunda, and Mukunda was just learning from the Swami, helping the Swami, getting it started in the storefront temple. Jamuna goes there, and she was already a pretty good cook. But the Swami was teaching her how to cook for the wedding. And so she'd touch her mouth, and the Swami would say, go wash your hands. And then she'd touch her hair. Go wash your hands. And then the Swami would say, you can't taste while you're cooking. She said, how can you do this? Not taste. Everybody tastes. He was giving this idea of offering to Krishna. Then she says, Swamiji, can I go have a cigarette? Go wash your hands. So she told me all about the Swami. We were thinking about getting married, and it was either going to be a Buddhist, a Native American shaman, or the Swami. But we both said, yeah, the Swami. So then Mukunda came. There, a couple people from New York came to get it ready, the temple ready. And Mukunda seemed very, still seems very transcendental. Like, you know, not of this world. And we were impressed with him. Plus he was a jazz musician too. So we were impressed with him. And we were getting it ready for the Swami. And the Swami was going to come. And we found a storefront. And I remember we cleaned it up, and Malati wore a new toilet seat, like a garland. She was carrying it that way with her hands full. Molly, she was the one that could procure anything. One day, the temple's now built as Prabhupada has a room overlooking the street. Malati sees a milk delivery van, dairy products. The man goes in the corner store. Malati goes like this. She takes a big flat of butter out of the van and goes like this and puts it in the temple. Now, Prabhupada's favorite, he liked silent movies. So this was like a silent movie, because you could tell she was going like that. The guy went there. She's so proud of herself. She puts the flat up, and look, we filled up. We just got a new stove from Jerry Garcia that would make chapatis. We were, you know, it was happening. So the Swami wants to see Malati. She goes upstairs, so the Swami, because we didn't get to see him much at first. So any chance to meet him alone was like, I was wanting that. Everybody was. So, oh, now I'm going to go see the Swami. She goes in. So, you have stolen the butter? She became like molten butter. You should not take anybody's things. It's like stool. It's not yours. It's Krishna's. But if you have to steal, steal butter. Muck and chur. He always, always, always forgave us. When I had the Radha Damodar bus, this one little kid, he was a kleptomaniac. I kept on telling him, don't steal, the same thing I heard from Prabhupada. For months, Vishnu Jana had a bus, and he takes our ektar. He sent one of his kids to take our ektar. So I said to the kleptomaniac kid, okay, get this out of your system. Take something from... He called it Vishnu Janan's Raiders. So Vishnu Janan later, we were on the phone, he says, are you playing much ektar? And I said, no, but are you showing many slides? Because the kid took a slide projector. And so Prabhupada, we're waiting for him to come. We heard about the Swami. We're at the airport. We went in a caravan. Everybody painted their cars then. Like I say, whatever our search. So we had the Krishna whack. It was a Cadillac with Hare Krishna on the sign. And the other car was Brother David, the founder of Children of God, his Ford with Krishna on this Hare Krishna. And we all went there in costumes. I was a samurai. Mukunda was Merlin the Magician. And Samishunda was this smelly Afghani shepherd's robe. And there were, like I say, Native Americans and Mexicans, and we all went out to the airport in a caravan to greet the Swami. The plane lands. Where's the Swami? There's no Swami. What happened? Well, you see, if you're a seasoned traveler, you wait. Everybody stands up and waits in an airplane. So Prabhupada just sat and chanted. Then everybody left. Where's the Swami? Then he comes out. It was like his feet didn't touch the ground. He was golden and his regal. He's looking up at this Vaikuntha. He's just gliding. And then he glides into the airport and sits down, and he gave us this huge oceanic smile on us. Take out some card towels, and with like perfect movement, all there, not thinking, well, what am I going to get for dinner? Where am I going to go on vacation? I'm watching the clock. It's 5. Right there. He sits down and he chants like the happening record, that tune. We all surround him, all the Mexicans and Zen Buddhists and Native Americans and Merlin the magician. And he chanted, and then people in the airport started to surround him. So we see some, out of the corner of my eye, I see some officials coming because it's getting bigger and bigger. But just as the officials came, Prabhupada stopped, so they had nothing to do. Then Mukunda embraced Prabhupada. You see, Prabhupada didn't tell us to bow down. He didn't tell us about a Vyasa-san. He sat on the altar playing bongo drums. There was no midangas, no kirtans, no books, no movement. Just, of course, would you take Krishna or the whole army? We had Prabhupada. Midangas and all that would come later. And he played the bongo drum sitting on the altar. And there weren't deities yet. So we all went in the caravan, and Prabhupada saw the storefront temple. He smiled. And a lot of the time he was doing translating. We would have kirtan with him Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening. And eventually Tuesdays and Thursdays, sometimes we would get to see him. But he was sitting amongst us, and the fire sacrifice, he would sit on the ground, Malati here, Jamuna there, no gender, just daughters, sons, family, building, hungry, doing austerities. How can you do this, Gurudas? How did this? We just wanted to see the Swami smile, you know, that's all. Come at night. What news? And we didn't know anything. I bought him this. Where's the receipt? What's a receipt, bro? I'm a hippie. I will teach you. He said accounting means putting it down immediately. He had all these little adages. Art means full belly, meaning if you're not fed, you won't enjoy, be able to have the luxury of art or Krishna consciousness. So now, I was about the 7th initiate. We used to get the flowers from Golden Gate Park. And Radha Damodar people were outrageous about it. Everything belongs to Krishna. and they would take stuff from the temples. You know, our bus was the only one that was actually allowed in the temples because Jayananda was on it, and Prabhajaka Swami and me, and we were semblances of a gentle people. But the other buses would take devotees and tapestries and pots and pans. We need these. And so Prabhupada was sitting amongst us, and the kirtans were long, hour and 20 minutes. A small person played a big kettle drum. Hayagriva made kelp horns out of kelp trumpets. And other people brought trumpets. This guy Israel, with a sika down to his knees, would come in and play the trumpet. And he'd ask Prabhupada, "Well, I like chanting Hare Krishna, but how will it save people in the world?" Prabhupada said, "You are different than people in the world. You like it, chant loudly." And then people would come in, "My child is ordering us around." And Prabhupada would look, no, you are parents. I mean, they would ask outrageous questions in the early days. And then the Patels started coming. And we also had a good relationship with the ambassador, Dora. But the Patels... Finally, Prabhupada has a Vyasa son, so Govinda Dasi's parents are from Texas. I don't know if you know Texas, you folks from India, but Texas is the biggest state. They think they're the best, and they have guns. You know, Western, outrageous, think they're better than everyone. We had a president from Texas that was the stupidest president in the world. He always looked like he was caught in the headlights, like, who, me? Anyway, I don't want to digress about him, but it's true. And so, Govinda Dasi's father comes, Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan, and he didn't like that Govinda Dasi was doing this. He wanted her to be a housewife, I guess. So he goes up and Prabhupada's there, just finishes chanting, and he says, "Why does my daughter have to have an Indian name? An Indian? Why does my daughter have to have an Indian name?" So the Patels surround this Govinda Dasi's father, and he's going like this. He felt like General Custer surrounded by the engines. So Prabhupada sees this. He says, "You do not like Indians?" So he says, "Yeah, I like engines, all right." And Mrs. Govinda Dasi takes him away. Now, see, Prabhupada was expert because he would say, if your daughter is happy, why do you object? Any time Mahamsa's parents came, he's Parsi, I think, birth. He's a wonderful devotee. He's all these people on the front lines with me. I love them. But as I say, I'm going to go all over the place. Mahamsa goes to help some devotees come into India in Hyderabad. So he goes to the other side of the customs, and there's a Sikh, a Sadarji there with a turban. You know this story? Good. So the Sadarji says, "Where's your passport?" He says, "I'm living in India. I'm just helping my friends." He says, no, "Where's your passport?" Mahamsa, and he's got white skin. So Mahamsa starts talking Hindi. The Sadarji says, "Anyone can talk Hindi." Mahamsa says, "What's the matter, Sadarji? Is it 12 o'clock? Because there's a joke that the Sadarji was beating up the jeweler because the watch only had one hand. So you can do this. If a Sadarji taxi cab driver tries to cheat you, say that. What's the matter, Sadarji? Is it 12 o'clock? Because then he'll like you. He'll say, okay." So they said, "Okay, you can come. You're from India." So Prabhupada was charming us, and we would go to the park, Hippie Hill, and chant. It's Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, so Swamiji says, chant in the temple, japa, then kirtan, and here's a manuscript of Chaitanya Chaitamitra, and read from this. So we do this, and about midday, Jayananda looks over to me and Jivananda, and they go, let's take it outside. And we go, and we go outside, and I had an apartment, and I gave it to Prabhupada. We did, not just me, but it was nicer. So now he, instead of living above the temple, he lived up the street. We went around the corner, we chanted. We went to the window. He was on the second floor. He comes to the window, and he goes, and he said, oh, no, the Swami. Now, he had never chastised us. And he very rarely chastised anybody. A couple times me, but it was for lessons. But actually, he chastised me here. I'll tell you about that. Akoyananda said, how did you take that, Gurudas? The temple wasn't ready, and because Prabhupada wanted it open, I said, yes, we can do it. And everybody said, Gurudas, it's not ready. Jamuna, Gurudas, sir, Gurudas says, yeah, but the Swami wants it. We can do it. I'll get to that. So, he told us to go away. He wanted us to be in the temple. We go down this hill, crestfallen, heads like this. Upendra comes running out. Swami wants to see you. We said, he told us to go away. He says, no, in India. He went like this. He says, in India that means come here, not go away. So we go there, he says, Jaja Guru, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna has entered you from within to take this outside. The chanting outside the temple, this is called Harinam, and now I want you to do it every day. And so that's how Harinam started in the West Coast. We went out, Vishnu Janan, Jamuna, Tamal, Murli Dhar. They were wonderful days. He was spoon feeding us. Then I got to meet him. He wanted to find out about cameras. My foot was in the door. He wanted to know how much this camera Pentax cost, and I said, I'll find out, and I show, and then the next day I brought this many catalogs. My foot was in the door. I showed him my camera. I showed him a light meter. There's the old cameras. You put your finger over the photosensitive cells and the needle jumps. The Swami played with the camera for 20 minutes. Played with it, watched it. In this very room, he played with Kishori, baby Kishori, for 30 minutes. She would run up to the Vyasasan, he would ruffle her hair, she would giggle and run back. They were like two golden retrievers. I'm wondering, who's going to stop the game first? They played and they played, and Prabhupada giggled, she giggled. So we were so happy. There was this deity, Kartamashi, in a shop. I would go every day. Please, can we have this Krishna for our temple? Jerry Garcia gave us a stove. You know. Tim Leary's coming to the temple. Finally, they gave us, they said, okay, you can have this for $35. I went out in the street. I said, my father's in jail. My father's in jail. Please give me money. My best friend's in jail. My best friend didn't give me money. My son is in jail. He's blue with envy. Give me some money. $35, come. Take him back. Feed him. I did before and after pictures. Actually, he was pale, and after we fed him, it looked like he was chubbier and bluer. And I showed him the Prabhupada, and he said, Jesse. So now we had Kartamashi, and Prabhupada would be on the altar. To the right of the altar was a totem pole, a Native American totem pole with owls and eagles, and Prabhupada just accepted it. And there was a picture of Lord Jesus. Brother David, Children of God, put Lord Jesus there. And the characters would come, all of them, and they would enjoy kirtan, and they would enjoy prasadam. And Prabhupada accepted the totem pole, except I did notice that he would throw orange peels on the eagle's nose. Whap! So now, Jamuna knows how to cook, and there's big love feasts. People are coming. Madhavisa Maharaj tells a funny story. He's a brahmachari, and he says, we were lusting after prasadam. So he said, we were trying to figure out what was in the pots by smelling. And so we get to the front of the temple to get served. But Jamuna and Malati went to the people in the street. There were so many people that they were out in the street, and they gave them, and they made plates. So Madhavisa had to see all the plates go like that. So the next week, he goes out in the street, and she serves the front people first. So. We'll talk about Jamuna, and we'll actually, I might tell this story again, but because I'm thinking about Madhavisa and Jamuna, just to show you the open-mindedness of our spiritual master. And please remind me to go back to San Francisco. We're going to talk about Lord Jagannath. But Madhavisa is a new sannyasi, and we're here, and we had this relationship with the Murtiwalas in Jayapur. I went, Jamuna went, Bhardwaj and I went. Years and years of relationship. And some deities were being made, and we had to go there periodically. Madhavisa is a new sannyas. He didn't want to see a woman. He didn't want to look at a woman. He didn't want to think about a woman. He didn't want to say woman. And Prabhupada sends him to Jayapur with Jamuna. You see? Prabhupada. Not gender, not all this separation. Varna, you know, Prabhupada, ladies need their expert. He said, what was I going to do? I had to go. Not only did I have to go, but I had to ride a rickshaw with her. So he tried to put his dunder in between him. But you know, the rickshaws are small and Jamuna was getting larger, so he had... But he says 2 days after, gender didn't mean anything. Jamuna said something great, and I'll talk about that too, but I have to say it when it comes into my mind, otherwise I might not remember it to. It's like Gandhi said, your life is your message, be the change you want to be. Jamuna said about bhakti, if you live it, you can give it. And she lived it. she's a much better devotee than me, and I'm not saying it with artificial humility. So now we're so happy with the Swami. The Indian community's coming, the hippie community was coming in droves to our temple because they would have all night trips and go to our temple for breakfast and comfort. They'd be coming down off of whatever. You know. And so the temple became a meeting place, and the love feasts. And then we would do all these programs. We would be invited to a Republican party, so we would take Lord Ganesh. You know. We were invited to all these places. And Sam Mishinda would take Ralph, his dog, and I would take Ketal, my Mexican dog, which means what's happening in Spanish. They would be right there. In fact, Ketal used to go into the temple and chant, but that's another story. And we're very happy with the Swami. Things are just... Now he's coming. We can see him Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we can see him more. And I... Oh, yeah. Because my foot was in the door, every day I went with some excuse. The assistants would say, don't let Gurudas in anymore. He's coming with these photo catalogs and this and that. He's just taking the Swami's time. And then they'd go into the kitchen to cook, and that's when Gurudas decided, I think I'll go see the Swami. They'd come back, oh, Gurudas, dear, the Swami. But the Swami smiled on me. Oceanic. And that house that we gave to him, it had a bigger kitchen. So Harsharani was our rule by the book. There's always a rule by the book person in every temple, usually. She was the first rule by the book. She's the one that said, Jamuna's proposal to me was, Harsharani says we have to get married if we live together. Oh, that's the most romantic thing I ever heard. Harsharani says we have. Thank you. Harsharani says we have to get married. So, Swamiji comes into the kitchen, and Harsharani is making pakoras, and he comes in and pops a pakora into his mouth. She goes like that. Swamiji, you know this is an offering for Krishna. You can't taste this in the kitchen. He goes. She says, you know. He said, who gave you this rule? She said, you did. Then I can break it. Like that. He would tease us, why are you photographing me so much? In India, there's a superstition that you have a shorter life if you photograph so much. Ah, I stopped. I photograph because I love you. I gain my request. And your expression changes so much. He says, yes, it's just a superstition. He said, what do you think of that? I said, it's not how long we live, it's what we do with our life. He said, yes. So, he was delightful, spoon-feeding us, never let a joke pass. Trying to get an immigrant visa, and all these women were trying to marry Prabhupada. I'll marry you, you can get your visa. Even at our, I'm going to tell you about our marriage and initiation. Yeah, I should get into it. At our marriage, there was a girl who wanted to marry Prabhupada. Yeah. And people were thinking this seriously. Allen Ginsberg said to Prabhupada, you should get married to get your visa. But he said, I am sannyas. So Dayananda and Janarani were going to adopt Prabhupada as their son, but Prabhupada, yeah, but Prabhupada said, they will say, what are you going to do with such an old son? So yeah, Harsharani says you have to get married. Okay. We're going to take the Swamiji instead of the Buddhist or the Native American shaman. Okay. When do you want us to get married, Swamiji? Tomorrow? No time, Chanchala. No, don't think too much. This born-again Christian. Oh, but first you must get initiated. Oh, okay. Born-again Christian shows up, blah, 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 blah. I said, you know what? You're so obnoxious that I would not want to join whatever you're doing. So you're pushing me closer to this. But he was saying this and this. Janaki makes ghee out of margarine. Margarine's like dalda. And the wood was fruit box wood. You know, not real wood. Fake wood. And so our initiation, Shama Devi also, three of us, a fire sacrifice in a storefront. And people from the Haight-Ashbury were really liking it because they'd be coming in on mescaline or peyote and thinking, oh, this fire is great. One time they pulled the fire. We did it in the Roundhouse in London. We made a fire as part of our presentation. They pulled it out all righteously indignant. And I said, what do you mean? This guy just broke his guitar and you're pulling our fire out. Okay. So we get initiated, but the fire wouldn't work. It sputtered because there wasn't ghee and there wasn't wood. But somehow or other, the Swamiji with his golden fingers made a little tent of the wood, and finally it sputtered and burst into flames. And afterwards he teased us. He said, that's like your marriage. It will start slow and burst into flames. You are great devotees, but together your potency is more powerful. So then, yeah. So that was after we got married. We got initiated. The day we got married, this woman who wanted to marry Prabhupada, not only did she want to marry Prabhupada, but she had a baby right there on her lap. And the baby's head was hitting the ground. Boink, boink. And everybody in the, they were going like that. And Prabhupada was transcendental, but even he said, we'll be strong, baby. I cannot marry you, I am sannyas. So, we get married. We actually had a very nice marriage for nine years, I think. And we're very happy. The Swami's amongst us. He's charming us. He's spoon-feeding us. He's slowly teaching us Krishna consciousness. Allen Ginsberg says we should have a mantra rock dance. All the Grateful Dead, Moby Gray, Quicksilver, all the big bands donated their services. Jamuna and I were dancing at these dances 2 weeks before, and now it's the mantra rock, and the Swami glides in. Everybody parts like Moses in the Red Sea. Allen Ginsberg was there. Swami Kriyananda, Paramahansa Yogananda's disciple, with Avina. Tim Leary, a guy who thought he was the mayor of San Francisco with a sash, San Francisco, yeah, top hat. And Prabhupada sang so beautifully, and this was the first benefit for our temple, mantra rock dance. We still do anniversaries of it. So we're part of the community because we're feeding people, and they're really interested in learning. There's more and more devotees coming, more and more. So, as I said, Malati could get anything, and she goes, and as I said, anything from India was holy. It's like, oh, this dum-dum rattle, it's from India. So she, what's known in America as the five-finger discount, she takes Lord Jagannath and puts it in her pocket without paying. As I said, she could get it. And, you know, the rationale, everything belongs to Krishna, so... So she says to the Swami, this is from India, isn't it? And he bows down. What? He says, are there others? Yeah, I think there were two others. You go get them. She brings them. Subhadra and Balaram. Samashinda. Call Samashinda. He's a carpenter. Can you carve these? Yes. Yes, Swamiji. Samashinda lives a little bit away from the temple. Perfect. He says, Gurudas, the New York devotees are trying to ask the Swami back. I'm going to carve really slowly to keep the Swami here. A little later, a knock on the door, Samashinda's door. Bhaktivedanta Swami here. The door opens, it's Prabhupada. Samashinda's package of pell mell cigarettes are right at the, I think there was one burning. Prabhupada takes his cane and goes, whap! They go, he says, don't let this tube get in the way of your Krishna consciousness. He says, I would like you to do this faster. Oh. You see, in London, Samashinda was working on the temple below Prabhupada's rooms, that beautiful temple. We brought redwood to London because we had the vision that we'd be able to find and build the temple. That's the kind of visionaries we are. So, he's working, and he says, and this shows you the mind of Prabhupada. Prabhupada, should I stop hammering? Is my hammering disturbing you? No. When I hear your hammering, I know you're working. It's like they asked the Pope Leo the 23rd, how many people are working in the Vatican? Oh, about half of them. So now we have Jagannath, and Prabhupada then told us about the Vyasasam, so we had an altar. One day, Uddhava, Ramanuja, Rupanuga, Subal decide to take Lord Jagannath for a walk in the park, off the altar, and we'll chant. Because Golden Gate Park's beautiful. I think Lord Jagannath would really like that. So Prabhupada hears about this, and he knew we were going to Hippie Hill. So he ran to Hippie Hill, and he said, no, Lord Jagannath doesn't go out of the temple. I'll tell you when he goes out. I'll tell you all about that. But then he said, as long as Lord Jagannath is here, then let's just sit down and chant. And then I did the photograph of Lord Jagannath and Prabhupada in the park. He always forgave us. Most of the time. No, always. In his way. I mean, even if he chastised, he forgave. So, he drew a picture of the Jagannath Car Festival. The cart. What it's like. Now next door to us were the people called the Diggers. Now they gave out free food, free clothes. It's from an Irish organization originally. And they were our neighbors, and they would say, do you have a cup of sugar? And we'd say, sure. We were both feeding people. We were here, they were there. But with them was the Hell's Angels. And the Hell's Angels are this motorcycle gang, and very tough. They would go into places and just ruin them, and even worse, I'll tell you how it got worse. There are our neighbors. So one night, we're chanting, long chants, like I say. And we hear boom on the wall. Oh, Prabhupada is getting ready to talk. He would talk very simple, how you're not this body. We still didn't get it, but we go to the YMCA. I said, these are children, don't be too calm. He says, who's the most intelligent child here? So they all said, he is, and this little precocious kid stands up. And Prabhupada said, what is that? And he points to the child's head. My head. And what is that? My belly. And to his knee. That's my knee. But where are you? And he explains the relationship between the soul and the body to those kids. So what was I talking about? Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So, boom. So, Gurudas, why me? Why does he ask me? He says, go find out what's happening. Why me? But I went outside. We had this rousing kirtan. I took a deep breath. I chanted. And actually, I felt good. Sometimes getting away from the crowd is a good feeling. And so I go and knock next door, and this guy with no teeth, swastika tattooed into his face, 13 tattooed on his arm, leather jacket, big boots, tough. Yeah. Well, the Swami's going to talk now, and we were just wondering if whatever was making that sound on the wall could just stop. So this one, he says, I was banging on the wall because of your singing, man. We dig your singing. And not only that, your Swami's the heaviest, which is a compliment. I said, you know, I was learning a little by then. I said, one of the translations of Guru is heavy. I told that to Ken Kesey. He goes, really heavy. That's heavy. Yeah. So they were quiet. Prabhupada was talking more and more, told us the Prahlad story. He would take a chalkboard and teach us the prayers, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Slowly, the prayers. The first Back to Godhead, they were mimeographed. It's like a primitive printing process. I can see different people's ages by them going like that. It's like when I sometimes talk in a gathering, I can tell who knows English and who doesn't, because they'll laugh at the joke, and then when it's translated, they... Of course, Sundar Govindadasi did these beautiful paintings of the Prahlad story.
Do you want to explain what a mimeograph is?
It's an old printing press.
You have to type on this thing, and then you put it in the machine.
Right.
And you crank it by hand, and then it prints out These one copy at a time.
Yeah, chung, 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 chung. Thank you. When the first Back to Godhead came out, Lord Nisshinga was on the cover, colored. Well, and I have to skip ahead, otherwise I'll forget, so please forgive, it's not in quite chronology. But we're in Montreal on the way to London, and because I was like a little child before Prabhupada, I said, can we wear Lord Nisshinga masks on Harinam? I don't even know why I asked it. It's just spontaneous. Prabhupada says, yes. I told you he liked silent movies. So to illustrate, he says, 50 years before, I saw a Charles Chaplin movie, and he was at the ball dance, and somebody took his tailing coats and ripped them part of the way up, and Charles Chaplin went into the private room and saw that his tailing coats were ripped, and then he ripped them up to the neck, and then he danced, and Prabhupada imitated Charlie Chaplin dancing vigorously on the ball dance floor. I'm using Victorian language, Prabhupada's. And everybody saw this, and they ripped their tailing coats up to their neck and danced. So what great men do, others will follow, so you can wear Lord Nisshinga masks on Harinam. So I had read Paramahansa Yogananda's autobiography of Yogi, and there's so many of these perfume saints and saints that have big longevity and this and that, but the chapter that stood out was about Vrindavan, because his brother tested his faith by giving him money for a ticket only to Vrindavan, and he said, let's see what your Krishna does for you with no money. And the people, the Brijbasis, welcomed him, they fed him, and they gave him ticket money back. His brother said, you're back so fast. Well, yes, I didn't even want to leave Vrindavan, but just to show you. So it stood out, that chapter. And I asked the Swami, can I go to Vrindavan someday? Yes. I will tell you when. Meanwhile, he said his spiritual master wanted something in London, so he asked the six of us and baby Saraswati to go. So we said, yes, we'll go. We didn't have very much money. Samashinda was arrested for some drug thing, and the money that they gave back was the money they took from him. So that's actually the money we had to go to London. And, well, you know, there was this guy, Carl Jurgens, in the Lower East Side, and then somebody else, and Prabhupada said, what do you do for a living? And he said, well, I deal drugs. Oh, I deal drugs, too. I was a drug dealer, too. Well, see, now that I'll go back to San Francisco, because it reminds me of another story. So I saw that to get to Prabhupada, I should serve. I should serve, serve, serve. So I started setting up radio television programs. So we go on this radio call-in show. So the devotees are somewhat clever. So we say, we'll call in the questions. So it's an hour show. So Prabhupada's here. Because, you know, it's usually, what is this mark on your head? Or so, you know. So first we hear Garga Muni. Swamiji, what's the meaning of life? sorry.
We have the air.
Okay, well, you know, Prabhupada imitated people, so what can I do? Please forgive me if you're hearing this. Don't burn me up, you know, would you? I haven't seen them yet, you know, so okay. So Prabhupada talks for 20 minutes. The next question, who am I? Where do I go? He loved it. So they said, no, we got to have somebody not from your organization called. So they screened it. It was just the opposite. So this lady says, Swamiji, why is your so-called temple in the Haight-Ashbury? He said, so-called temple? No, it has deities, it has books, it has tradition. Okay, why is your temple in the Haight-Ashbury? The rents are inexpensive. How did you get here? I had free passage from Sindhya, Sumati Maharaji. Free. Are you a freeloader? Prabhupada never heard that word. He said, yes. We heard a faint or something. It was like, boom. And so Prabhupada took $50 and gave it. And we were in Montreal. And it was very nice. Family in the bowling alley. And it was the first Janamashtami, first Vyasa Puja, and he gave us Brahman thread after 6 months, personally. And he oversaw the feast, and on the Vyasa Sun, he said, I made that. He's like a little kid. And so first Janamashtami, my theory is that Prabhupada really would have come out on Janamashtami. But he's such a great devotee that he stayed so he wouldn't take anything away from Krishna. I could be wrong, but it's a theory. So Vyasa Puja comes the next day. So the first Vyasa Puja, I put all the pictures of Prabhupada up. He's sitting there, big feast. Another girl wanted to marry him. This man says, I don't think they should bow down to you. Prabhupada said, as you are thinking they should not bow down to me, they are thinking you should bow down to me. And this is democracy, majority rules. Prabhupada could take one argument and defeat us and then go on the other side and defeat us. I asked him, in Gorakhpur, we're walking over a football field. So I said, Prabhupada, did you play sports? Yes. I was captain of the debating team. I was captain of the debating team. So we're going to London, and from Montreal we stopped off to New York, and all the devotees were there, and I took a photo of the devotees in front of the New York temple, and their arms were raised, and we showed it to the Beatles at one point. I'll tell you about that. Thank you, Gurudas, for reminding. Our only plan to go to London was we got to meet the Beatles. That was our plan. How were we going to meet the Beatles? But Bobby Dylan and the Beatles were one step ahead of us. They were saying things that we wanted to think of or thought of. They were the anthem. And Bobby Dylan, too. And I knew Bobby Dylan in the civil rights movement. He didn't like politics. He liked creativity. He would be all fidgety at the political meetings. I have another Bobby Dylan story, but you have to read my new book for that. It's a little racy for this audience. So, it is. So, in my new book, The Wilder I Am, the better it is because I surrender to Prabhupada. So the readers say, yeah, yeah. So our only plan is we want to meet the Beatles. How are you going to do that? Well, Krishna will help you. So we get there, and in England, they're very stroppy. It means very rigid, very bureaucratic. And if you don't have a return ticket or enough money, they'll throw you out. One time I get a call from the customs. They all throw Reema Mukunda. We all look alike. Mr. Grant, there's somebody at customs, and they say they're a monk, and they're giving your name, and they want to be admitted into Great Britain with no money. And I said, you mean they don't have £1? One halfpenny? No. I said, then let him in because he's a monk. If he had a penny, throw him out. So they let him in. But they weren't going to let us in. So we went to Amsterdam, and Samishan and Malati take the $1,000, and they show up, here's our $1,000, let him in. We had one name. They sent it to the Amsterdam bank, Jamun and I, here's our $1,000. And then Mukunda and Janaki. So we get to England, and we had one name out in the suburbs, Dr. Coley, and we started having kirtans, but it was way out in the suburbs. And we thought we need a place more inside of London, right inside where everything's happening. So we went to the underground newspaper, International Times, and we started writing articles. I reprinted the Prahlad story that Gursunda and Govinda did and wrote text. Jamuna did calligraphy, Sanskrit on the cover. We had an article in just about every issue, and the underground community was embracing us more than San Francisco, because it was like a smaller town. Everybody knew everybody. The person who was doing the creative videos, Hoppy, knew everybody. The metaphysical bookstore, Miles, knew everybody. The Rolling Stones knew folks. The Beatles were accessible at first. They had an advertisement, come sing with us or something, and I sent them the devotees from New York, come sing with us. So the phenomenon was even better than San Francisco. They were adopting all this searching, and there was a strong community, and they loved us. And we became part of the underground. But we didn't have a place. We were looking for a place. We didn't even live together at some points because we were just building, and we were looking for a place. I was standing in the line, and a man said, I think I know you, and do you know Shama Shunda? I said, yeah, we're here, and we're looking for a place. He says, well, I have a place. It's an ex-Bible dispensary. And we were looking, we found this morgue in East London, in an alley, ghosts, cadavers. They showed us tables where the remnants of bodies would fall through this hole. So we said, no, this is no good. Meanwhile, the Hell's Angels, Ken Kesey, two managers of the Grateful Dead, they're coming to London. Could we put them up? They're all the San Francisco community. Oh, yeah, sure. And they came, and they also rented, they paid £500 each for their motorcycles, the two Hells Angels. And they had two women with them. And they all come to our, okay. The underground newspaper was moving down the street, so they said, you can stay in our warehouse where we have our magazines. So I have to go back. There was the man who owned the warehouse was a very rich, he inherited a fortune, but he was favorable to the hippie community, young community. So we go to his penthouse, and they say, Sam Shinden, McCunnagurdas, you do the talking. Okay, so I'm pumping his hand, and he's liking this, and he said, I hear you have this place, and he gave it to us. Two floors. On the top floor was the branch of the black Muslims, Michael X. However, I was in the civil rights movement. I heard all of Malcolm X talking. He was almost as powerful as Prabhupada, and I could speak the language. So I was the liaison with the black Muslims on the top floor. In fact, I got them out by charm when we started to expand. And Malati lived in a refrigerator, a big box on the, just as, with little windows like you'd make with your kid, like a little fort. And George came and he said, well, there's this Monty Python thing. I was so poor, I slept on the floor. Oh, you had a floor? I was so poor, I slept in a box. Oh, you had a box? Okay. So we had a temple on one floor, and then we kitchen. George came. He loved it. He and John had already been acquainted with the Hare Krishna mantra. They bought 100 of the happening records, and they had chanted for 3 days without stopping. They couldn't stop. And George told me that sometimes he was on an airplane and it went like this, and he took out his little picture of Krishna and started chanting, and I said, that's nothing. In India it happens all the time. People take out Durga, Guru Nanak, Krishna, and then the plane goes like that. We all take out our little whatever, and so they had heard. And George came. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. The Hell's Angels and that whole contingent came, and they were wanting to know, where can we get some more converts? And so Mukunda, logistically, is helping the Hell's Angels to, you can go there. Oh, and thank you, I have to regress all the way back to San Francisco at the Mantra Rock Dance, because it's important. The Hell's Angels, we were afraid they were going to trash our dance, so I said, let's make them the security. That'll cancel out. It's like two negatives. Would you be our security? Yes. So they became our security. Then everybody got the idea. They were asking the Hell's Angels until Altamont. They were security, and they killed somebody. So eventually it decayed, but we started that. And what can we say? We may start things good, and then it may decay. So the Hell's Angels, they came, and we made them take off their big boots at the door. And they kind of had jet lag. And Ken Kesey was there, the two Grateful Dead managers, two girls. Frankie became like a devotee. One of the girls, she looked like she was from Bronx, New York, sitting on a stoop with a what we used to call DA's haircut, and she became Billy Preston's girlfriend. She stayed on, and she was devotional. The Hell's Angels fell asleep after we fed them, a big Jamuna Malati feast. Their weapons, they actually had weapons that fell out when they fell asleep. It was like divesting the Pandavas of their weapons and putting it in the tree.
How did they get through customs?
The girls carried it.
Oh.
And it was before 9/11. So the only one that stayed awake was Ken Kesey, and he said, what do you need a guru for? And I said, well, would you go to a doctor with someone who didn't study a book or didn't learn anything? You're saying, well, which side is the appendix on? Or, as Prabhupada used to joke, oh, my right eye hurts. I'm sorry, I'm a left eye specialist. That was one of his jokes. I can't treat your right eye, I'm a left eye specialist. So Ken Kesey, what do you need? I said, and he accepts it. And we knew each other. We knew each other from San Francisco. We had some history, and we had conversations, and he even told me when he was coming out of hiding, and all of this history. So now in this form, Gurudas, we were still friends. So he said, yes, now I see why you would want a guru, because it would save you having to reinvent the wheel, etc., etc. And he says, besides, your guru is the heaviest. And I said, well, it just so happens that one of the translations for guru is heavy. And that's when he said, heavy. He showed up at one of these concerts with the American flag painted on his front tooth, and I did a wide-angle photo of it. I don't know what happened to it. I stored them all in London. I had photos of Che Guevara and Castro at the picnic and the baseball game, and I think I know who threw them out, one of these audacious devotees. It's sort of like the Quran that threw out Alexander the Great's library, because if it agrees with the Quran, we'll throw it out, and if it doesn't agree with the Quran, we'll throw it out. It was smart thinking. So a devotee threw out some of my photos. That it happens. Another devotee broke into a trunk where I had some belongings of Prabhupada, and a pair of Prabhupada's shoes were in the trunk, and they gold-plated them. And a year later, I went there, and I said, they took Srimad Bhagavatam's original one signed by Prabhupada. I said, you know, it's not your things. This one devotee tried to stop them. And I said, by the way, those shoes are not Prabhupada's. They're mine. They gold-plated my shoes. So be careful for what you do or wish for. So George Harrison loved us. So we were trying to find this place. And then, so because George Harrison was our guarantor, immediately they gave us this place. Even though the neighbor, Mr. French, was complaining, because by now, well, I'll talk about when we go to John Lennon's estate, but Samashina Tirthapada, they built the temple, and we had a member of parliament, Allen Ginsberg's friend. He turned out to be a spy for the KGB and the CID, a double agent. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. It's stranger than fiction, Prabhupada. Anyway, so he was helping us. We had the letter, and we tried to soundproof the temple, but this guy, Mr. French, we had this big meeting, all the ministers, and we had the Lord Goodman, the Prime Minister's solicitor, and the Mr. French had the fencing champion solicitor, and all the officials in there. And there's a door with a window in it to the temple. And so we're in the temple, and all the officials are there. And so we had a rousing kirtan. And the door's open, and the officials are there, and the window's in the door. So we're, and by the way, don't do this at home. We got inspired because of Krishna being clever. Aswatthama the elephant, Mumu, is dead. So Krishna blew the conch shell. They were devastated because Aswatthama was the child's name. So the officials are there, and we're having a rousing kirtan. They close the door. Door closes. Madanga. Door closes. Hare Krishna. Door closes. They say, we can't even hear it in the hall. You say your wife is fainting and the dog is jumping up and down, and we can't hear it in the hall. And he said, it's a bloody trick. And the doorknob comes out of his hand. He's caught like a raccoon in the headlights. But because George Harrison was our guarantor, they registered it and zoned us. So, I'll continue tomorrow. I know you might want me to do it longer, but I promise you, I'll get it all in, and especially talk about Krishna Balaram, because that's the purpose of this taping for a book of David Divishati. However, before we get to Krishna Balaram, we really do want to paint the picture of our wonderful spiritual master, and so I'm setting the scene on how we get to Vrindavan. Thank you very much.